Hello, Malcolm here. Welcome. Welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. This is episode 321 and it is part 6 of the Hearing God series, based on the book of the same name by Dallas Willard, with the rather helpful subtitle of Developing a Conversational Relationship with God. We're in chapter 6, which is called The Still Small Voice and Its Rivals. Let's talk about this still small voice. Two particular examples come to mind for me. One is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the example of Samuel, who hears from God but doesn't realize it is God speaking, finally goes to Eli, thinking it's him who's called him. Eli realizes that it is the Lord calling, and so he tells Samuel to go and lie down. If he calls, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," and that changes Samuel's relationship with God. And we see there that it must be a small voice, a still, a quiet voice, an unassuming voice. Otherwise, surely Samuel would have realized it was the Lord. It was gentle. And then again in 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah is there at the cave and he has various experiences of earthquake and fire and so on. And after the wind and the earthquake and the fire, there was a gentle whisper. See, hearing from God and having encounters with God is not all about, fireworks from heaven. Perhaps the quiet inner voice is primary in the way that God speaks to us. That's Dallas Willard's contention, that gentle, quiet voice is normative. And I wonder if the experience of the young Samuel is instructive here. He didn't know what the voice was, or that it was possible for God to speak in such a way. And perhaps a sort of surprised confusion is more common when hearing from God than an expectation of and an immediate recognition of the voice of God. And that also fits with Peter's experience of the vision in Acts chapter 10, but we'll come onto that another time. I think it is legitimate to imagine ourselves in the circumstances of the ordinary people of the Bible, isn't it? Willard says we will be able to seek him only if we honestly believe that God might explicitly address us in ways suitable to his purposes in our lives. Do we trust that he will explicitly address us when that is what is helpful for us? In the scriptures, there are so many stories of people who hear from God. Willard gives us at least 6. I'll just mention a few now for reference. Sometimes there's a phenomenon and a voice. We think of Abraham and the fire in Genesis 15. We think of Moses in Exodus 3 with the bush. Israel in Deuteronomy 5. Ezekiel, the beginning of the book of Ezekiel. Jesus, of course, himself in Matthew 3. The dove and the voice of God. Saul in Acts 9. Sometimes the way that God speaks is through a supernatural messenger or an angel. Genesis 18 and 19. Joshua, of course, had that in Joshua 5. 2 Kings 6, Matthew 26, have a look at those. And there's a good number of others referenced on page 93 of Willard's book. He references Balaam, Gideon, the parents of Samson, Isaiah, Daniel, Joseph, Zacharias, Mary, the women at the empty tomb, Peter and Paul. I mean, there's a lot of people that have this kind of encounter. And then there's dreams and visions. Paul has one in Acts 16, as well as in chapter 18. 2 Corinthians 12, he refers to. Ananias has such an encounter with God in Acts chapter 9. Peter in Acts chapter 10. Jacob, going back to the Old Testament, Genesis 28. Joseph in Genesis 37. In fact, Joseph's jailmates in Genesis 40. Pharaoh himself, Genesis 41. And Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4. Dreams and visions. And sometimes there's simply an audible voice. Abraham has this on the mountain in Genesis 22, and Samuel, we've already talked about from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And does God often, surely quite often actually, speak to us through another human voice? When God speaks to us through other people, Willard claims that this is the most normative method for God to communicate to us, because simply because it's the most connected to who we are as people. Our world is people. And the way that we communicate is together with one another. And maybe that's the way that most of the time God speaks to us. In a sense, the prophets are an example of this, speaking God's words to God's people. And they were burdened if they didn't speak. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And I wonder if that's part of true Christian fellowship, is that sense of we must speak to one another. We must speak of God to one another. So what do you think about this still small voice? How does God communicate in that way to you and I today? Is it through other people mostly? And maybe it's something internal as well for us. So we have the Spirit, don't we? Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the Spirit within us, will not God's Spirit, will not his voice speak in our spirit through and with and by his Spirit into us, into our own awareness internally? Willard says, God uses our self-knowledge or self-awareness heightened and given a special quality by his presence and direction to search ourselves and reveal to us the truth about ourselves and our world. We are addressed by him and spoken to by him through our own thoughts, Willard says. What do you think of his contention there? Of course, our thinking is corruptible. Our minds need renewing. Romans 12, verse 2. We need renewing of the mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we're going to know the will of God for us, our minds need renewing. And I think that's not just that one time, right? But we need that refreshing renewing that goes with a lifestyle of repentance and devotion to God. Willard likens this to God walking through our mind with a candle, illuminating things, showing us this and that. Of course, we've got to let him into our minds first for that to happen. And that's why submission, a willingness to be open to God, is a prerequisite of hearing from God. Well, I've referenced a good number of scriptures and Bible examples. I wonder which one might have spoken most to you. Is it Samuel? Is it Elijah? Or somebody else? What do you think is the main way God speaks to us today? Perhaps what's your experience of the way that God has most commonly spoken to you? Why not post this? Post this wherever you hear or see this recording, because we can then learn from each other, and we learn best when we're learning in community. Together from one another. Let God speak to us all through our shared experiences. So I'd love to know what you think. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or you can go to the website, leave a message there or a comment. And if you know anybody that might benefit from this recording, do please pass it on. I'd appreciate that. Next time, we'll go on to look at chapter 6 of the book, which is called The Word of God and the Rule of God. But until that next time, I hope that you do find yourself hearing from God in a way that helps you to develop a conversational relationship with him. Take care, and God bless.